Luke 11 and verse 27 to 28 will be our text. If you can remember the context of Luke 11 and where we are, very recently the Lord Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he taught them to be persistent in their prayer. He taught them to trust the Father in their prayer, that they were to remember that he is their Father and that he's willing to give good things, specifically the Spirit he's willing to give if they would but ask. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus was accused of casting out devils through Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And the Lord Jesus reminded them that that would be foolish for Satan to do that, because that would make him the ruler of a divided house, and that house would never stand. And he reminded them that if he, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God had come to them. And he warned them in a roundabout way with an illustration of the fact that he was there doing a great work by casting out devils, and that if a person were to allow that a devil would be cast out of them, and they would not allow that God himself would come and inhabit them, in other words, if they had just a turning over of a new leaf in their life, that actually the end of that person, or we could even say a nation, would be worse than the beginning. Then that leads us to verse 27 of Luke 11, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It has been joked about before that this is the first Catholic ever to exist. Here we have an individual that apparently thought that it was a wonderful thing that Mary had been the one to bear the Lord Jesus and obviously be his mother and nurse him and all those things. And boy, that's true, isn't it? The Bible does speak about the fact that she is a blessed woman, that she would forever be blessed. God gave her that privilege to be the mother of his son. What a wonderful privilege she had. But you know, it's funny, we joke about things like that and joke about the fact that this is the first Catholic because apparently she thought that, you know, she was kind of worshiping Mary or whatever. But all joking aside, we as human beings have a tendency to do exactly that, don't we? We can pick on her and kind of make fun of her for her worshiping of Mary, and we might even do that with others, although we shouldn't make fun of anybody if they are in a mistaken religion, especially where they would worship some saint rather than Jesus Christ the Savior. We should never pick on them. Rather, we should pray for them and encourage them to worship the one true God, Jesus Christ. But I also want you to understand that we have the same tendency that others do, and that is we have a tendency to be enamored with the mystical, enamored with that which is ethereal or intangible, something that is out of our reach. We're often enamored by that. But I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus reveals to us here that Christianity is much more than worshiping the mystical. Christianity is actually more simple than that. You see, God wants us not to seek the mystical things. God's not looking for you and me to seek an experience or some privileged status in Christianity. God is expecting of us that we would seek to listen, know, and obey his word. That's Christianity. And that's the great privilege of Christianity, is that we have the opportunity to know and to obey God's word. That makes us a blessed people. Being born into a Christian home is a privilege, but it doesn't make you blessed. What does make you blessed is the opportunity to know and obey God's word. The wording that Jesus uses here is more than just obey. He says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The word keep there is the idea not just of to hold on to it and put it in your pocket. It's the idea to keep and to guard as something priceless, something that is worthwhile, something that is precious to you. It's similar to, if I could use an illustration, what most men, I would think, do with their wallet, what a lady would do with her purse. And that is this, for instance, for me with my wallet, it is my natural tendency and my habit to, every once in a while throughout the day, to just reach back and tap my back pocket to see if the wallet is still there. I imagine most men do the same thing. And I automatically notice, even sometimes around my own house, I take my wallet out in my house and put it in a certain place, and sometimes I'll just, out of habit, reach back and tap the back pocket, and it's not there, and it alerts me automatically. It's subconscious, but it alerts me something's wrong, and then I remember, oh yeah, that's right, I'm at home. If I go to, you know, some large city or maybe an airport or something like that, I don't keep my wallet in my back pocket anymore. I usually put it in my front pocket, or I'll put it in a zippered pocket on the inside of my coat or something like that. And even then, every once in a while, I reach back and I just touch it. I remember that I went to Israel with a group back in 2004, and I bought one of those packs that goes around your, not a fanny pack. Some of you were laughing. I just said pack, and you laughed. One of those that straps underneath your shirt, and it's made for holding your passport and things like that. And what I did, see, I'm not as geeky as you think I am. My kids will tell you that I am, but they're wrong. They're the geeky ones. But what I did is I took my passport, I took my cash, and I took my credit cards, and I put them in that, you know, pack, whatever that thing is called. But I still had my wallet, and I put a little bit of cash in the wallet so that it'd be easy for me to pay for things on the street. But I figured if somebody stole my wallet, no big deal. It's, you know, I kept $20 or something like that in there at a time. And I had a few other miscellaneous, you know, my library card. You can have it if you want it. And I was out and about, we were at some stand somewhere, and I wanted to buy falafel, the best thing you can buy in Israel. Forget all the knickknacks and the stuff from Bethlehem and all that. The falafel is what you go for. And I was buying falafel or something like that, and I got back on the tour bus, and the man who was leading our tour was my former pastor, Brother Vineyard, who's in heaven now. But Brother Vineyard was, if you knew him, you understand what I'm talking about. He was an old military guy, rough and tough and all that kind of stuff. He came up to me on the bus and he said, "Mike, where's your wallet?" And I reached back and I said, oops, I must have left it. And he had it in his hand. He had come after me and recognized that I left it somewhere. And he said, "But there's nothing in here." He thought somebody had taken it and taken all the money out of it or whatever, all my cards. And I said, "That's okay, sir." And I pulled out that pack and said, "They're all right here." And I felt pretty good about myself. But why did I do that? Because those items, the credit card, the larger amount of cash, my driver's license, my passport, all of that was very precious to me, so I kept it. It doesn't mean that I continued to have it in my possession. It meant I kept it close. It was in a safe and a secure place. It was somewhere where it was so important to me. I took extra time and effort to make sure that that stayed with me. My library card, couldn't care less. $20 here and there, whatever. I can lose that and I'll be fine. But I don't want to lose my credit cards, don't want to lose my passport, definitely. I don't want to lose those important things. They were precious. I kept them. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You see, Christianity is not mystical. It's actually simple. That Jesus expects of us and asks of us that we would, yes, hear his word, but friends, that we would keep his word. That it would be near and dear to us, that it would be precious, that it would be something that is so important to us that we could lose everything else, but this I cannot lose. That's Christianity. I want to share with you from these two verses in Luke 11 a message that I've entitled Enamored with the Mystical, or Enamored by the Mystical. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and privilege to preach to your people, but Lord, again, I always need your help, and I especially need it this morning, Lord. You know the thoughts that go through my head and the opportunity that I have, Lord, just to share with people my own thoughts. And Lord, that would be vanity. It wouldn't do them any good for them to get a good dose of what Mike Weiss's opinion is. Lord, that will only harm them. But Lord, if I can give them what your word says, Lord, that will help them. That will change their life. That will set them on a path to having a good judgment when they stand before you. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to help them. So, Lord, I yield myself to you. Humble me, but exalt your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I yield it to you. Now, Lord, would you also give us ears to hear? We know that Satan will try to bring doubts. Satan will try to discourage. Satan will even try to offend people by something that the pastor says or some action that he has or something that he does. Lord, please don't let that happen. Give us ears to hear, not me, but you, your word. I thank you that you will. I'm trusting you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Enamored by the mystical. Here we have a lady who, again, we're not picking on her. She's not an evil person necessarily any more than you or I are evil people. She was just a normal individual, and she said something that any one of us maybe would have thought. She was encouraged by the things that Jesus said. She was probably awed by the wisdom that came out of his mouth, and she just blurted out what was in her heart, being probably a mother herself. She basically said, boy, your mother is a blessed person. But Jesus corrects her and says, it's not about who my mother is. She's not blessed just because she got to be the one to bear me and to raise me. Rather, you're blessed because you hear the word of God and you have the opportunity to keep it. That makes you a blessed person. And friends, it's the same for us today. Let me share with you two main points from this message. First one is the mistaken blessedness, and then we'll talk about the true blessedness. First of all, the mistaken blessedness. So, what this lady thought. She thought, and we have a tendency to think like she did, that people were blessed because of things that were out of their control. She was mistaken in what was blessed. She thought it was in things out of their control. And friends, again, we have the tendency to be the same way. We think mystically. Boy, people were blessed that got to walk in Israel the same time that Jesus was walking in a physical form. Wow, they were blessed people. Peter, James, and John, the other disciples, and you know, Mary and Martha, they were blessed because they got to walk with Jesus. Friends, we shouldn't be enamored by the mystical. It's not about what things that are out of people's control. Let me show you this in Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3, look at verse 1. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus' predecessor, John the Baptist. And John, in the beginning of his ministry, was baptizing under repentance. And at this time, as he begins to baptize, he gets very popular. And his message is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at verse number 5 of Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew 3, starting with verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him, this is John the Baptist, in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, there's the religious people of his day, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Now notice verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I want you to notice what John said in verse number 9 at the end, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, how would God do that? We don't know. That's a miracle. But can I say to you that it's a miracle that Abraham existed in the first place? It's a miracle that Abraham's wife was able to bear a child at the age she was able to bear a child. That there was a miracle. And it's a miracle even when a young lady bears a child. It's a miracle that mankind lasted from Abraham to Jesus' day here. All of these things were miracles. So it was tempting for the Pharisees and the Sadducees to think, we don't really need to worry about repentance because after all, we're Abraham's children. And John reminds them, listen, God's not interested in things that you can't control. Because all of those things come from Him. And with His word, He can raise up children unto Abraham. Can I say this about what the lady said in Luke chapter number 3? God was able, from the stones, to raise up another mother of Jesus. And you might say, well, Pastor, how would He do that? I don't know. But I know that it would be a miracle for Him to do this too. In other words, God's not interested in those things that you can't control. It's not this person is blessed because of things that they can't control and this person is not blessed. And I would hope that in a church like ours we would understand, but let me say it just so everybody understands, God is not interested in skin color. Well, that should be a basic thing for Christians to understand. And I think, by the way, in our days, let's just be honest about it, Christians have a good understanding that God's not interested in skin color. It's the world that all of a sudden is interested in it. They always have been. But they're enamored by it more and more, and that seems like it's all they can talk about. But God's not interested in skin color. God's not interested in what nation you were born in or what nation you live in right now. That does not make you a blessed person. It's not about things you can't control. It's also not about physical circumstances. Look at John chapter 8. Let me show you that Jesus said something very similar to what John said in Matthew 3. This time we're going to John 8. John 8 and verse 31. Because the mistaken blessedness was about things out of one's control. It's also on physical circumstances. But Jesus refutes that idea in John 8 and verse 31. John 8, 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We'll stop there. We could read down through verse 47, and I would encourage you to do that later. But you see what they were saying? They not only brought up the fact that they were Abraham's seed, they brought up the fact that they were never in bondage to any man. That their physical circumstances were good. We are a free people. And they thought because of that, we're blessed. But Jesus reminded them that it's not about physical circumstances. Friends, there are people today who live in communist China, which, by the way, would be a horrible place to live. There are people today who live in communist North Korea that are more free than American citizens walking this soil today. There are people in those lands where real tyranny happens that are more free than somebody who is in governmental authority in Washington, D.C. That is more blessed living in a communist land than some people living in the United States, because it's not about physical circumstances. Jesus said, whosoever is the it committeth sin is the servant of sin. And you see, there are people in communist North Korea and there are people in communist China and all around the world that though they live in circumstances where perhaps some of them are even in a prison camp today, and they're in shackles and chains and being tortured and beaten, but they're free from sin because they've been born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. And they're free. Though they're in shackles, they're free. And there are people all throughout the United States of America today that though they are not in shackles, though they're able to walk and roam the streets freely and be able to say even what they want to say, that are slaves and servants to sin. They think they're blessed because they are U.S. citizens, but it's not about physical circumstances. That's a mistaken blessedness. Let's talk about now the true blessedness. It brings us back to Luke 11 and really verse 28 again. Verse 28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The true blessedness is based on spiritual circumstances. Remember, it's not about physical circumstances. It is about spiritual circumstances. Let me read a verse to you. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. But 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Apostle Paul said there, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How is it that a person in North Korea who's in a, you know, slave labor camp or whatever, who is born again, how is it that they can be the real blessed person? Because those physical circumstances will only last so long. Death is not the end of everything for the Christian. In fact, it's the beginning. You see, that Christian in a terrible place in a communist country today has something that they are looking forward to, and that is eternal things. And those are just that. They're unseen, but they are eternal. And there are people who are United States citizens and even wealthy people and people who have everything that money could buy and all the things that their heart has always wished for, yet they're enslaved to sin. And you see, those things that they have, the mansion that they live in, the nice car that they drive, those are temporal things. And they're missing out on the eternal things. It's not about physical circumstances. It's about spiritual circumstances. The true blessedness is based on spiritual circumstances. It's also based on hearing the word of God. That's what Jesus said. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. Let me read another portion of scripture to you from Deuteronomy 4. It says, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Friends, you may not have much in the way of material things, but if you have a Bible in your hand, you're blessed. Not just because you have a book in your hand, but because you have the opportunity to hear the word of God. You are blessed, according to Jesus' own words. You hear the word of God. This book is a blessed treasure. One of the good things that's going on in 2020 and then now in even into 2021 is this. I believe that there are Christians all over that are starting to wake up and realize that God's word is precious. They've neglected it for a long time. They've not been daily Bible readers. Oh, they've been daily on ESPN.com, or they've been daily in the newspaper, or daily on Facebook, or daily listen to the radio or whatever, or television. You get the idea. Daily they were in those things, but they were not daily in God's word. And one of the beautiful things that's happened in these days is I believe that we're seeing a time where Christians are realizing, I need God's word more than ever before. That's a good thing. That is a blessed state, to hear the word of God. But not just to hear it, friends. Jesus didn't stop there. You see, because the thing about the Sadducees and the Pharisees is they heard the word of God. Now, they didn't hear it with ears to hear, but they heard it in a physical sense. They had the Torah. They were taught it and probably knew it better than any of us here. They knew God's word. But it wasn't just hearing God's word. Jesus continues there, and I mentioned it earlier. He said that hear the word of God and keep it. And you remember the illustration I gave about a wallet or something else that's precious. It's something that you hold on to and you're concerned about and you keep it close to your heart. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So true blessedness is based on obedience to the word of God. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter number 1, because this is evident in James chapter number 1. James 1, we'll start with verse 22. This passage, or I shouldn't say passage, this idea, this truth is throughout God's word, that it's not just about having the word of God, it's about hearing it and keeping it. James 1 and verse 22, the Bible tells us there, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now please notice the last two verses of the chapter. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You see, the Word of God makes it clear, especially the last two verses. They're a great illustration of the previous verses, which are, if you hear the Word of God, that's great, but wait a minute, you need to do it. Don't be a hearer but not a doer. If you are a hearer but not a doer, you just deceive yourself. And then it gives the illustration that if there's anyone who seems to be religious, maybe they know the Word of God like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Maybe they have the outward part looking good and everything's just right, but it's very obvious from their actions that they are not a doer of the work. Which, by the way, it's amazing that God relates it not to doing service for God as in things that people would pat you on the back for, but as in serving your fellow man. He talks about bridling the tongue. It's amazing that that's really what shows whether or not we obey the Word of God. It's not about how much I put in the offering plate. It's not about how much I do these external good things. Although we ought to do those things, please give lots of money in the offering plate. But it's about reaching and serving our fellow man. That's the proof that we are a doer of the Word. And that's the true blessedness. Whether we hear and keep the Word of God. Look at one more passage of Scripture. We'll close with this. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. As you turn to Matthew 5, let's remember what we've learned. Matthew 5, we'll start with verse 2. Remember what we've learned in this message entitled Enamored by the Mystical. We've learned that there is a mistaken blessedness that's based on things out of one's control, that's based on physical circumstances. But then there is the true blessedness that's based on spiritual circumstances, that's based on hearing the Word of God and based on obedience to the Word of God. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse number 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. By the way, that's that same word as what we found in Luke 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heavens, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May I point out to you there that in Jesus' message, this Sermon on the Mount there, what we would call the Beatitudes right here, the blessedness had nothing to do with physical circumstances. It had nothing to do with who you were the mother of. It had nothing to do with where you were born or what your skin color was or the gender that God gave to you. Whatever it might be, it had nothing to do with those things. It had everything to do with hearing and keeping the Word of God. You see, when Jesus said those different Beatitudes, the blessed are the meek, etc., he wasn't pulling things out of thin air. All of those Beatitudes are based on the law of God, God's Word, every one of them. And if you look at the law given by Moses, given by God through Moses, you know what you find? You find that if a person would fulfill the law, if they would obey, all of those Beatitudes would be about them. Every one of them. If they would truly obey the law. You see, it's about hearing and keeping God's Word. That makes you a blessed person. So let's put it down on a low shelf where we can all grab it. Let's make an application to you and me in the form of a question. Are you blessed? Are you hearing God's Word? Not just with the outer ear, but with an intent to obey. Are you keeping the word of God? Is it precious to you? When God reveals something to you, when you read in his word, let's be specific. When you're in the Old Testament and you're reading through the book of Exodus, and you see God says to his children, the children of Israel, this is what I want you to do. Do you look at that and say, I'm going to grab a hold of that? If that's what God wanted the Old Testament Jews to do, he probably wants me to do something very similar. Not so that I'll get saved. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by grace through faith. Jesus Christ has shed blood on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's how I'm saved. But I love my God. And if he wants his people to do that, then I want to do it. Blessed is the person that hears the word of God and grabs a hold of it and says, this is mine. I want this. Not I have to keep it, but I want it. That's the blessed person. Is that you? Or when God gives you a command, when you read something in his word, are you a little bit like a teenage son to his mom? Okay, mom, I'll do it. But only because you're going to nag on me if I don't, or only because you're going to tell dad if I don't. A lot of times that's the way we obey, then we're not blessed. Because blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Are you keeping God's word, or are you enamored by the mystical? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us and reveal to our hearts whether we keep your word or not. Lord, it's easy for us to be religious. It's easy for us to come to church. It's easy to put on the right clothes and the right smile and all those different things. It's easy for us to make everyone think that we are blessed because we are part of a Baptist church or we carry a King James Bible under our arm. But Lord, would you help us to remember that that's not what makes us blessed? That hearing and keeping your word is what blesses. So Lord, I pray, would you show us that? Would you reveal it to us, not just as a group, but individually? Lord, I need to hear from you in my life. And Lord, every person under the sound of my voice needs the same. So Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to do that, and I'm asking in faith, believing that you will, because it's a good thing. Now Lord, would you move in the invitation, bind and rebuke the wicked one. Don't let him lie to us or convince us not to obey you. I pray that you would shut his mouth, bind his hands, not let him work in this invitation. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to work in a great way for your own sake. I thank you that you will. Bless now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.